Adil Sajjan, welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast.
Looking forward to it. Super excited.
Such a pleasure to have you here, Adil. I've heard so much about your family's journey and your journey as well. Can you tell me a little bit about the Danoob family journey?
Well, you know, my family came from super humble beginnings. My father's father passed away when he was only 16 years old.
Right.
So the entire weight of the shoulders came onto my dad. He was working in Kuwait. We're super happy over there. Probably he was earning about $8,000 to $10,000 a month,
wow,
which back then for somebody like us was gold, was a lot of money. Unfortunately, you know, Iraq invaded Kuwait, the war happened,
mm-hmm,
and literally we were rescued in military planes and we had to escape Kuwait.
Wow.
And that's how our journey came into Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my father, I know when my father came to Dubai, he had about $25,000 in his pocket. And it was that. And he started from very humble beginnings. He already was very business savvy, you know. So he started an indenting company trying, mm-hmm, to connect buyers and sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, Danoob began, you know, with very, very humble beginnings. And it was lucky for us because that's when Dubai was being built 30 years ago. So it was the right time, you know, right place. And we built our business with, you know, basic, smart business principles.
Yeah.
And that's how the whole journey began. So from $25,000 back then, today the company has a turnover of $3 billion plus, more than 4,000 employees, 25 countries. So it's been beautiful. It's been really, really nice. And
it's literally the rags to riches story, isn't it?
It is, it is. And because he's come, you know, from such humble beginnings with, mm-hmm, sheer hard work and grit and determination, you know, being the only child, this puts a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it, you know, because I have big shoes to fill in. And, you know, when it comes to work, my dad's been always tough on me.
Yeah.
He put me at work or to work from the age of 13, where I would be, you know, summer holidays, super hot in Dubai, working in the yard in our building material store.
Wow.
And throughout those years, you know, I got the chance to work in different departments in our company.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I graduated from my university, I was 5 or 6 years ahead of my peers because,
right,
I had the family business. And, you know, back then, I wanted to study in California, USC, but I decided to stay back and study in AUS, great university in Dubai, in,
yes,
Sharjah. And I was kind of unhappy then, you know, being a young kid, but that one move of mine made a huge difference because I remember I used to work in university, you know, and then go as a chandelier boy to different parts of the world,
mm-hmm,
try to request the teachers that, look, I have an exhibition. Can I prepone my exam? So it was very interesting balancing those things, going to the stores after.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we had money then, but the foundation of value for money, business, hard,
yeah,
work was set in, you know, both by my mom and dad,
mm-hmm,
very early on, which helped me in my later years. So this was my base.
Yes.
And I remember when I was young, like this is like 2012, you know, so we had this retail business called Danoob Billmart. It's called Danoob Home today.
Okay.
And, you know, compared to our main business, so we were doing about $100 million a year,
okay,
compared to our original business doing 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And we were losing $10 million on that. And we wanted to shut the business down. And then my dad asked me when I graduated what I wanted to do. I thought to myself, if I take our core business, even if I'm successful at it, you,
yes,
know, everyone's going to be like, oh, the father built the business and the son's just there.
Mm-hmm.
But being a young blood, you want to try something new. And if I did something wrong, or the father built a good business and the,
yeah,
son came and spoiled it. You know, that's how typically things go.
Yeah.
So I said, I don't want to do that. That's already making money. I want to create my own legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, I took the relatively smaller business, which was struggling back then.
Right.
And I told my father, I'm like, look, if I can turn this around,
yeah,
you know, this can be a cash cow for our company. And believe me, that journey was super hard, taking that, you know, company. Because when you start something new, it's easier. But when you have a failed business you want to turn around,
mm-hmm,
it's a lot harder.
I can imagine.
And it took some time. So it took me 2 years to break even. But then since then, we have literally been the fastest growing home improvement retailer in the region. Super profitable, cash cow for the business. You know, one of the top 5 home improvement companies in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So it's been fantastic and super proud of what we've achieved.
Well, it sounds so inspiring. Yeah. And also, I mean, your father is such an inspiring person. And do you think his decisions on you or some of the life choices really shaped your character, or his decision to kind of not raise you too spoiled, make you work at 13?
So, you know, it was more like yin and yang. So I had my father, you know, hard at work, value for money, don't spend too much. I had that. And then, of course, I had my mom pampering me. So, you know, I was lucky in that sense. I had the best of both worlds. But I truly believe, because I see so many kids, young, you know, children coming from well-to-do families. And yes. A lot of them are not working the way they should be. A lot of them not exploiting the platform they have.
Yeah.
And I think this goes down to the foundation that's been set. You know, I would be foolish not to use this. And don't get me wrong, Maz, we're not making this money or working so hard because that's going to be changing our lifestyle by any way.
Yes.
But it's just something which, you know, in our blood, in our this that we have, that do something that's going to create a meaningful, impact,
yeah,
both for the people working for us,
mm-hmm,
and society as a whole. So that's what drives me personally, you know, to be working so hard and, you know, trying out different things.
And how are you raising your children now? I mean, I guess it would be that's difficult, huh?
I mean, my children are born in Emirates Hills.
Yeah.
They're young. I mean, they're 5, 3, and 1. So I have three children, 2 boys and a girl.
Uh-huh.
But I always have this discussion with my wife. I'm like, look, Sana, I started working full time at 13. And, you know, when I used to work, there was no shade in my yard. So I used to carry 4 shirts. Imagine June, July, August in Dubai without a shade.
Wow.
My mom and dad would fight every day.
I can imagine.
But that's how it was, right? So
yes.
I was like, look, I don't know about that, but at least we got to be making them work early, hopefully from the age of 12, if not 13. And then try to have some kind of sense,
yeah,
of value of money. It's going to be much harder for us than it was for my parents because of, you know, where we come from today.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that always bothers me. And I think that's something that I will try to the best of my ability, along with my wife, to try and implement,
yes,
in our kids so they can have that kind of meaningful life when they grow up.
You know, my parents left Afghanistan as refugees. And my father, every time we sound a little bit spoiled, he's like, I walked 10 kilometers to get to school. Does your father have stories like
that?
He
has a lot of stories. He has a lot of stories. He doesn't generally rub it in.
Yes.
But the man's really worked hard and he's done his fair share. And he doesn't need to rub it in. I mean, him doing so much and creating something out of nothing is already inspiring enough, honestly, not only for me, but millions out there. A lot of people look up to him, including myself and my family members.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very inspirational. Even today,
yeah,
the man works really hard. He's up early in the morning, you know, with a smile. So it keeps the family going and it inspires us every day.
What are some lessons that you've learned from your father?
You know, one thing which I would tell all young people as well, and this is something which I truly, truly believe in,
yes,
is, I mean, especially when you're younger, a lot of people have a lot of good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people do not implement them.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. And I feel that one thing that I've learned is you got to just get up your butt, work hard, not do it tomorrow, not do it day after. Do it now. The power of now. This is something which I always advocate in my company as well.
Yeah.
Sense of urgency. It's so important. A lot of people fail because they're weak in implementation.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear so many things, especially now on TikTok and YouTube and podcasts.
Yeah.
But how many of those things are you really applying to make your job better or to make your business better? So this is rule number one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing which we, you know, follow in our business, always find a gap. Any business that we've started has come out from a customer need because it was not being filled. Like the retail business, Danube Home, which I take care of. We started off because in Dubai, a lot of people build their own houses from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not a single place which provides a one-stop solution, selling furniture, sanitary, garden, carpets.
Yeah.
And creating that house into a home is one of the most beautiful journeys for a family,
yeah,
and one of the most important journeys. But still, there was a gap and a void that was missing.
Yeah.
And listening to that, because when we shifted you know, earlier, we face mm-hmm. these challenges, and that's how our retail concept began.
Right.
So we try and identify gaps and try to find out what's missing in the market. You know, if I talk about the property business, tons of people living in the UAE for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the salary mm-hmm. of 10, 15, 20,000 dirhams a month, and they couldn't afford a house. Because back then in 2014, people was, you know, a lot of the big companies were selling houses for $1 million, $2 million. Not everybody has $1 million lying in their bank.
Mm-hmm.
We came in, affordable luxury, nice apartments, a lot of amenities, good payment plan of 1% per month. We were the first people to start that,
wow.
which made it accessible for a lot of people to then finally find a way in which mm-hmm. they could get their dream home.
Yes.
So this is something important in life, whether you're working for someone or you're starting a business or you're new at something,
mm-hmm.
try and really see, is there a gap, big or small, and how can I be doing something meaningful of it? And mm-hmm. believe me, if you just focus on these core basic principles of acting now and finding the gaps, you know, life would be a lot more, you know, successful.
Yeah. What does your morning and day routine look like now as a billionaire?
Non-Ramadan and Ramadan is completely different. So I'm going to talk when it's not Ramadan.
Okay.
generally, you know, so I wake up by 7 and I drop my kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something very important because I don't get time on the weekdays.
Yeah.
So I get that extra 20 minutes to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then typically I'm at the gym by 7:45,
mm-hmm.
Finish my gym and I go straight to work from there by 9:30, 9:45. I come home at 6:15. As soon as I'm leaving, message the nanny, hey, I'm on the way back, get the kids to the pool. So I get another 20, 30 minutes with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this creating this kind of balance between fitness, work, and family, super important.
Mm-hmm.
And once I'm done with that, knowing Dubai, being super social, if I don't have an event outside, I'm so happy. I'm like, yes, finally a day at home. Because there's so much happening in Dubai all the
time.
But so I come home, you know, after the kids sleep by 8. And then generally it's me spending time with, you know, my wife, with my family. I like getting some about 30 to 45 minutes of reading before I sleep. That's mm-hmm. so important. And if not, we're outside with friends or events. So that's typically, you know, a day of how it is.
And how important is health and fitness in your life?
Oh, my God. So important. So, so, so important. Look, I always say this. Your body is your temple. And so many people get busy and like, look, I'm busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm handling 5 verticals of mm-hmm. our company. Trust me, my life is super busy. Super, super, super busy. I mean, I'm lucky to be having 2 secretaries to manage my day-to-day schedule. But I make it a point that I'm doing at least, if not 1-2 activities per day, you know, something or the other, whether it's swimming, it's my, you know, Pilates,
mm-hmm.
it's paddle tennis, which I love.
Yes.
Or it's gym. I have to have, if I'm not traveling, 18 to 20 sessions
mm-hmm.
of gym in a month, 6 to 8 sessions of paddle in a month, you know, 6 to 8 sessions of Pilates in a month, swimming every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do it because, and you know, honestly, that's one of the reasons why we launched Sports World.
Yes.
To connect to the community and to create a place that's fun, where people can exercise, people mm-hmm. can be healthy, people can be, you know, cheerful, and that's what caused you know us going for that. So very, very important. No matter how busy you are, if you have time for Netflix and chill, you can take out an hour a day to do whatever you like.
For your body and your mind.
Yeah, for your body and your mind. It's so important, for sure.
And what books would you recommend, or what are you reading at the moment? Any podcasts, anyone you follow that really inspires you?
No, there are tons of books which I've liked. I'll talk about a few of my favorites. So one which I've read multiple times, and actually this was the first gift to myself by my dad when I was like 14 years old,
wow.
How to Win Friends and Influence people by Dale Carnegie. What a powerful book. Loved it. Really, really nice. There's another book by Reed Hastings, No Rules, Rules.
Oh.
Very different approach of how to run a business. Something, you know, which opens your eyes, you know, of how people need to be empowered and how you should be focusing more on, you know, getting top-notch people in your company who have the basic, you know, common sense rather than controlling them. So that was very interesting. Think and Grow Rich was a powerful book.
Napoleon Hill.
So these are the top three that come to my mind. Of course, there are tons more.
Yeah,
but these are the highlights.
And as a billionaire, I was very lucky to be at your house for Sahur. I've heard so much about the Danube and the Sajan gatherings. So abundant and beautiful. How, as a billionaire, how do you stay humble and grounded?
You know, this is something I've learned from my family because when I see them interacting with other people and how they are with everyone, their personalities never changed.
Yeah.
So what we were 30 years ago, we're probably living in Karama, and what we are today, how we've progressed in life, our core personality is the same. Things have become nicer around us, mm-hmm. that's for sure. But I see no reason why that should spoil your approach to people.
Yeah,
I think that's very important. Creating true, valuable relationships with people, connecting with people, mm-hmm. giving back to the society. You know, these are things which are important.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. I don't think money should be a deterrent in deciding how you behave with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask about sustainability.
Yes.
So this year is the year of sustainability.
Yes.
And I wanted to know how Danube incorporates sustainability in the business.
You know, that's very important. In fact, even the COP28 is going to be hosted in the UAE for the first time. So it's big news. Government of the UAE has declared 2023 year of sustainability. Big words. And it's important because at the end of the day, we're living in this planet and we want to be having this for the next many, many, many generations to come, not only for ours, right?
Yeah.
So everybody has to do their part. What we are doing at Danube is we have our own sustainability division.
Mm.
In fact, our team was at the World Economic Forum at Davos recently, where we were talking about, you know what we're doing for sustainability. So what we've done is a few. I'll talk about a couple of initiatives. There are many.
Okay.
The first is we have this concept where we are tying up with different hotels, providing them with glass bottles, so no plastic, and we're creating water from the air. So this is a new concept which is here. The hotels love it because it adds a lot of green points, you know, onto this, and it's a sustainable way of providing water to hotel guests. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the hotels or the beaches you're going to be at soon will be from, you know, water provided by Danube Hospitality.
Yes. Wow.
And the second thing, which is something interesting, is about circular economy. You know, you'd be shocked to know that in any big hotel, you know, which is 800 to 1,000 beds, almost 500 kilos of food is wasted every single day.
Wow.
Per property. That's huge.
Yeah.
If you think about it. And what happens? It's just thrown away. So, you know, we're coming up with this biogas plant, mm-hmm. which we're going to install in these hotels, which converts the food waste to a manure, which mm-hmm. can be used for, you know, the hotels for regrowing plants, and also be provided use for creating gas for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually converts and, you know, brings back a lot of the wastage and it's not, you know, filled. So these are some of the few initiatives we're taking at our company towards sustainability.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it's so nice that Danube is being so active on this in the year of sustainability.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about some pivotal moments in your life.
Sure.
Have there been any moments where it's shaped you, or, you know, any moments of things that have happened in your life that have shaped you as a person?
So when I graduated, that decision of getting into retail and not our core business, which was building retail back then, I think that was very pivotal.
Yes.
Those 2 years were hard because I was lost. My father, like, look, your responsibility, your headache. At that time, we had building material people running retail business, which doesn't work out. And it was really hard. And, you know, I still remember back then because a lot of the times, every door we would go to would be closed. We go to a mall. Hey, we want to shop in your space. Oh, we're not going to be selling commodes in our mall.
Yeah.
You know, you go to, so any place you would go to, it would be so hard. And then trying to figure it out by yourself, is challenging, and you have so many families who are dependent on you. So I think that was a tough phase of my life, and but then we figured it out. We got the right people on board. We created our concept, and then that's what started our journey. And you know, that's the beauty of it. I always say that a crisis is a crisis is a time which should never be neglected, because that's the time of maximum innovation.
Yes.
When COVID hit, no business school in the world teaches you how to run a business with zero revenue. So what do you do? How do you then transform? How do you take care of the health aspect of your staff? How do you take care of the health aspect of your customers? How do you get things moving? So, you know, there was so much innovation happening at our company. So I love it when a crisis happens.
Yes.
Because, yes, it's not great because the numbers are low. You're not making as much money. You know, the faces are drooping. People are earning less commissions and bonuses. But it puts, when your back is against the wall, you really start thinking and you really come out stronger. So I you hate it in the moment, but believe me, in the long run, I think these kind of, areas of time helps people, and everybody goes through it. Everybody has an ups and down.
Absolutely.
Whether you have a business, whether you have a career.
Mm-hmm.
But what's very important is you should look at this as a time of opportunity. You should look at this as a time of digging deep into yourself and figuring out how you can then pivot, or how can you then find different avenues of, you know, finding a new meaning in life. Very, very important.
Robin Sharma, the author of The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari and The 5 a.m. Club, has this quote, and he says, adversity builds mastery.
Yeah.
And so in difficult times is when you really shine.
Sure.
As an entrepreneur, have you ever experienced self-doubt or fear of failure?
Yes and no. There are times where things have been hard. I don't put my energy in focusing on self-doubt or whether I'm doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, as the captain of the ship, it's very important, on the contrary, to then inculcate the opposite in your team.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start doubting yourself and your team sees that, what's going to happen? Especially at the time when they need you the most.
Yes.
Things are going to turn the other way. So that's the time when you have, you know, more energy, more positivity. You know, you take the team forward. You try and reshape the, you know, your strategies. And that's when you need to bring out the maximum energy and the maximum vibe in the company.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't do that, you know, you're not able to steer it back on track. So that's my approach in dealing with difficult situations. Always find a way. I feel like I perform better under pressure.
Really?
I think so. Whether it's a table tennis game.
Yeah. You're competitive.
I'm very competitive, for sure. Yeah.
And what about all these trends and changes? How do you stay innovative in a business and in Dubai that's so fast-paced?
Yeah, I mean, globally, you have, I always say in our company, the only thing that's constant should be change.
Yes.
Because especially in today's, you know, ever fast-changing world, I feel like the world is changing a lot faster it is today than it is at the past. And you got to keep upgrading yourself, upgrading your business, and finding ways of how you can be relevant to the people around you and relevant to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the ways we've done this at Danny, or at least how we are driving it, is a couple. Number one is we have a very strong strategy team. So we have our team who works on the day-to-day, but we also have core members within the team whose focus is in thinking 2 years, 3 years, 4 years ahead.
Yeah.
Of what are the different initiatives we can take to be relevant 2 or 3 years from now, and how we can be ahead of the game. So this is so important.
Yes.
The second thing is you have to be as close to the customers and to the staff as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I hate CEOs who are only working on the PC. You got to be spending time on the floor, you know, feedbacks. And trust me, some of the stuff you learn, you know, listening into conversations of your customer service or going down to the floor will amaze you. And that's it. You just, if you follow the basics of doing that, listening on, you know, to the calls, getting customer feedbacks, getting mystery surveys, getting a feedback of pulse surveys, and just working on those actionable points, you know, that's going to solve 80% of your issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to help you keep up and be relevant to the market.
Let's talk the market. A lot of my friends are complaining about rent at the moment and the price of property in Dubai. I don't even know what to ask. it's a booming market right now.
Yes.
Will it go down? Will it stay like this?
Look, a lot of people globally are talking that there may be a mild recession, if not. But I just feel Dubai as a city and UAE as a country, the way they have built it and the way the kind of vision the government has for the country, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a long-term view of Dubai, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, I always see Dubai having a upward trajectory.
Yes.
A lot of people always say that, oh, I'm going to wait for it to come down. If you're lucky, you may have a short-term correction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a long-term view in Dubai, you know, things are always moving up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still compare Dubai, you know, in terms of rent per square foot or price per square foot to any other major city around the world, whether it's Tokyo, it's Singapore, it's Hong Kong, it's London,
mm-hmm.
we're paying nothing.
Yeah.
We're paying nothing. We're taxed nothing as well. So in that sense, I think Dubai is very cheap, especially for what it offers.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we've all seen an influx of rich, well-to-do people coming in from China, from Russia, from India, from Europe, from everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't see that trend going away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
We recently launched our property. We were actually one of the first people to launch an Aston Martin interiors project in JLT.
Yes.
You know, and it was a hit. We touch wood, sold out, you know, 95% of the inventory in a month.
Yes.
And we're having a big launch coming in very soon, which is something which might interest you. It's going to be, it's called Fashions.
Oh, yes.
And it's around the concept of fashion TV. So we have a lot of big celebrities coming in. The tower is also being launched with that kind of a theme. And I think that's something that's interesting.
You touched wood. Are you superstitious?
I'm not superstitious. Maybe a little bit. I see. Look, I believe that you got to be working hard to get where you want to.
Yes.
But it's also important to, you know, have belief in God, have belief in the upper being.
Yes.
And it's a combination of both things that lead to where you are. If you only do one, it might not work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if somebody's listening now, they're an entrepreneur and they want to create something, they want to move into business, what's your advice on how to be successful?
A, if you're a freshie, I always say it's very important to work for a good boss. Work for an unorganized company where you can do as much as possible, especially when you're young, and get as much exposure as possible. A lot of people want to get the Ferrari, live the big dream, but it doesn't happen like that. You got to first work for somebody, get a lot of good experience, because then you're learning on his dime.
Yeah.
And you then get the basics of what business is about.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the basics, try and find a gap in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's so much easier to start a business than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many different business models that don't require so much capital. So depending on your risk appetite, depending on your capital, that you have with you, you can be starting any business that you like. But then, like I said, follow the power of now. Don't wait on things. Get things moving, and don't be disheartened if things don't work out, because you're always got to be finding a pivot, and sometimes things don't work out for the better.
Yeah.
So pivot, you know, hustle, work hard, and get as much experience as you can. And the most important thing which we've learned and which helps us is follow the customer. Be a customer-centric company.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of, read, you know, one of the books which I liked was Lean Startup by Eric Ries. And that's what it teaches you. A lot of people spend so much time in, I'm going to do this and that, and spend so much time before implementing the business.
Yeah.
The faster approach would be start small, get a pulse of the market, and then build along with it, rather than starting very big and doing so much R&D And then suddenly you may realize that what you've done is not what the customer needs.
Mm-hmm.
So start small, figure out what they need, and then build from there.
And what's next for Danube?
We have a few expansions. So a lot of our focus is going into property. Property is hot at the moment.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, a lot of good launches coming in the property sector. Sports World was a hit. So if it does continues to do well, we might expand in other territories.
Yeah.
Danube Home is doing well as well. So we are planning to open, a few branches in Abu Dhabi, in Qatar. So these are three main verticals. But one which we've recently launched, which has picked up a lot of traction, is called hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
So we supply to all the different hotels. And there's a big boom around Saudi, UAE and Qatar.
Yes.
So these are the markets we're going to be focusing on with this division, new founder division of ours.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the few things that are happening in terms of non-business. If I have to say, yesterday we went to Arjan. So we're planning to build a beautiful mosque.
Oh, wow.
For like 1,000 people, hopefully. Oh. So I'm really happy of that. So hopefully next Ramadan we'll be praying over there.
Yes.
We're studying to create a school, which is non-profit, which is there. Because there are a lot of families in Dubai where education is expensive.
Yeah.
Can't afford the school fees. So we're trying to figure out a way in which we can create a school that is really nice, but not that expensive. So this is something which is, a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, fingers crossed.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Where can we follow you and your journey and, of course, Danube?
Me personally, if you want to follow my social life, you can follow me on Instagram, Adil Sajan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll put up the link.
Yeah.
I also have a LinkedIn profile with the same.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, you can visit our website, danubehome.com, aldanube.com, and you can see the amazing stuff that we're doing.
Such an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Adil.
I had a great time, Maz. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You.
Really enjoyed it.